Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I am joined today by John Herman, rate strategist for MUFG Securities Americas. We're publishing this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's Wednesday, April 8th, 2020. In this episode, we continue our conversation with John Herman from last week on U.S. unemployment and the implications for GDP over the course of the next several months. John, as you highlighted in your latest research note, the government reported a 4.4% U3 unemployment rate for the month of March. Does that number accurately reflect the unemployment situation in America in March? And what is your base case forecast for the U3 unemployment rate over the second quarter?
Okay, John, so the short answer is no. We do not believe that the published number of 4.4% accurately reflects all of the size of the job decline in the household sector. So, as you know, the payrolls last week declined 701,000, and our models are showing that because there was such a low response rate from the businesses, that the actual number is really closer to a million down for the month of March. Now, on the household side, it showed a job loss of nearly 3 million, or three times the amount that we saw on the establishment side. So the question, though, is does the movement in the U3 rate from 3.5% up to 4.4% capture all of that 3 million decline in household employment? The answer is absolutely no. Why not? The BLS, in their methodology, very strict methodology on whether someone's unemployed or not, they tossed out effectively 1.763 million people, or half of that, a little more than half of that 3 million decline. They tossed them out of the calculation and threw these people essentially unceremoniously into a pool called not in the labor force. Why did they do that? Well, the short answer would be the people, as they got displaced and they did not know when the economy or their businesses would be open, for how long they would be in the stay-at-home policy, and so on, these people weren't actively searching for jobs, which makes total sense. But these are worthy individuals who are skillful and, you know, previously employed, and now they find themselves in a pool of workers called not in the labor force. So the short answer is, if they had put all those people back in, we were looking at an unemployment rate in March of 5.31%. That's much higher than the 4.4% reported rate. That's the first thing for March. For April, our base case for April is 9.2% April unemployment rate using the strict measure of the U3 by the BLS. May, we have that moving up to 10.1%, and June, we have that moving up to 11%. When we use our MUFG modified U3 unemployment rate, where we don't throw these people out and we put them in, then we find out that the unemployment rate should go from 5.3% in March, jumps up to 12.1% in April, up to 13.4% in May, and up to 15% in June. That's a staggering increase and something the Fed really is going to be nervous about.
Thanks, John. What is your main risk scenario for the U3 unemployment rate over the second quarter?
Okay, so our risk scenarios is, so you heard our base case. Our base case is a pretty dramatic rise in the unemployment rate from currently, in this modified context, 5.3 back in March, all the way up to 15%, basically a tripling of this unemployment rate. But the risk scenario we really worry about is the following. We think there's a very decent chance that the unemployment rate, this modified version that we're talking about, where you don't throw out all of these people out of the labor force, but you actually count them, that the modified unemployment rate could be 17.45%, a staggering number. You know, the unemployment rate in the Great Depression was like 25, 27, 28%. We've been talking 17.45%, staggering. How do you get there? You would have essentially about 15 million jobs lost in April, another 2 million or so lost in the month of May, and about 2.7 lost in the month of June, and you'd basically get there. On a weekly basis, for our clients to think, are we tracking it? Yes or no? Think of the next three jobless claims, weekly jobs claims. Think of them tracking about 6 million per week or more, and then you stay on that path, essentially.
Thanks, John. What are the implications of that risk scenario on GDP growth for the second quarter and beyond? And what other high-frequency indicators are you monitoring to determine if this risk scenario plays out?
Okay, so this, again, this is a very dramatic risk analysis. Unemployment rate rising to about 17.5%. The implications for GDP is that GDP in the second quarter could track a decline of 36.5%. Okay, what did I say? 36.5% decline in GDP in the second quarter. So what are some of the things that we're looking at? We're worried that the aggregate hours worked index, remember, GDP growth essentially is hours growth plus productivity. We're looking for aggregate hours worked to contract in a base case about 30.9% quarter on quarter. A 30% decline in aggregate hours is staggering. On a flip side, on the consumption side, you know, what we find is we've been monitoring very closely the gasoline consumption for people using for commutation purposes and recreational purposes. That we have tracking a 67% Q-on-Q annualized decline. That's a year-on-year decline of about 35%. Staggering. In other words, just to wrap your brains around this, we're talking about over the course of the second quarter, the amount of gasoline consumed across the United States is as low as during the fourth quarter of 1993. That's how far back we're retracing the consumption handle on this one. So we're very, very nervous. We're also going to be monitoring foot traffic indicators, as you know, from a host of things, everything from airports, shopping malls, auto dealers, home buyers, hotel rental booking agencies, restaurant bookings, and so on. The recreational attendance records, things like that. You know, we talked about that going into last week's payroll number, and all those were so negative. But we're going to continue to track those. But we're really worried about the aggregate hours work index, and we're worried heavily about the gasoline consumption because we see that as just symptomatic of just how frail the consumer is and how much they pulled back. And how much, you know, businesses and the government policies have basically sidelined household workers and company activity. It's just astonishing.
Thanks, John. And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.